Welcome once again this morning. This morning we're going to be continuing our look at who Jesus said he was. Through the Gospel of John, a number of times Jesus specifically says, "I am." And every one of those statements that he makes is an important part of his identity as divine, as the Son of God, as our Savior, as the way, as the truth. This morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 10. We're just going to be looking at verses 1 to 10. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to find that passage. And we're going to be looking at this section where Jesus makes a very important statement about who he is. Now, when somebody says, "I am," they're saying something about themselves. And we have to carefully consider who people say that they are, whether it's true or not, because people can say all sorts of things about themselves. I could say, "I'm an Olympic athlete." And yeah, okay, Miriam, thank you for laughing so quickly, because obviously that was an absurd statement. Sometimes people make grandiose claims of who they are. And we need to evaluate those claims, because sometimes people can say things that, you know, if we believe them, can be quite harmful. If somebody were to say, "I'm a doctor," and prescribe you something or do some procedure to you, you better hope that they really are a doctor, because they could actually do a lot of harm. The statements that Jesus makes about who he is are of the utmost importance to us, because who Jesus said he is has eternal implications for us. And so this morning, as we look at John chapter 10, we are going to be looking at the statement where Jesus says, "I am the gate," or your translation may say, "I am the door for the sheep." So John chapter 10. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, when he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him just because they don't recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said it again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now, Jesus is talking about sheep and shepherding here, and it's not something that is a real common image for us today in the 21st century. But in Jesus' day, in Judea, shepherding was a normal, everyday thing. It was as normal as shoveling snow is for us. It's something that everyone understood. Now, I don't know, have any of you, I know some of you have raised animals, any of you actually raised sheep? Anyone? Yeah, a few of you? Have any of you ever had a smart sheep? No. Sheep are not the most intelligent creatures. And it's kind of funny that that's, you know, one of the most common things that God refers to us as is his sheep. But sheep lack some basic survival instincts. One of those being the internal homing instinct that many animals possess that helps them navigate, that helps them actually get home, to know where they're at. And so sheep need a shepherd. They need someone to corral them, to guide them. Now, in Judea, what would happen is at certain times of the year, shepherds would take their sheep out into the wilderness to find pasture to eat. And because they'd be often far out from town, they would have to corral them at night and bring them in to shelter. And so they would have sheepfolds, they'd call them. And my clicker's not working. That's all right. Well, anyways, the sheepfolds would look just like that. There we go. And so there's sometimes there'd be temporary ones made of sticks. And when I was traveling the Middle East, I saw sheepfolds like that. Or sometimes there'd be more permanent ones made out of stone. But the idea is that you'd corral all the sheep into the pen, and then the shepherd would lay down in the doorway and would literally be the gate and would keep them safe inside. Jesus in this passage here is describing part of this powerful relationship that existed between the sheep and their shepherd. You see, the shepherd would protect them. He would bring them into safety. He would keep them safe. But he would also call them by name. And sheep, for their lack of intelligence, one remarkable thing about them is that they will recognize their shepherd. Oftentimes, shepherds will gather their flocks together and keep them in a larger pen together. And again, when I was in the Middle East, I had the opportunity to see shepherds out in the wilderness calling their sheep. And it's incredible because they each have their own call or their own whistle. Some will use whistles or some other flute or something, or some just use their voice. And you'll have this mass of sheep, and a shepherd will call, and his dozen or two dozen sheep will come out of the crowd and take off with the shepherd. And Jesus is talking about how the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Now, the shepherds cared for their sheep, and because not only did they spend a lot of time with them, but it was their livelihood. And the sheep in Judea were most often raised not for meat, but for their wool. And so the shepherd was deeply invested in the health and welfare of his sheep, because it wasn't just can we raise this animal long enough to cook it? Not that you don't care for your animal if you're raising it for meat, because, you know, we got to care for our meat. It's important too. But with a shepherd and their sheep, the longer their sheep lived and the healthier it was, the greater the yield of wool would be. And so the shepherd's livelihood was directly tied to the health of his flock. And a healthy flock that grew, that he would be able to raise more sheep, would in turn result in greater livelihood for that shepherd. And so they cared deeply about their sheep. And this is how Jesus is referring to his people. And we're going to look at this more next week, because the rest of this chapter, Jesus, the next I am statement is Jesus, I am the good shepherd. We're going to look at that next week. But here he's pointing out the dynamic and deep relationship between a shepherd and his sheep, and saying that this too is the relationship between him and his followers. Jesus is saying that like sheep, we who follow him listen to his voice. We hear his voice, we hear truth, and we follow him. We hear his voice. And through the book of John in particular, one of the interesting things is you read through the Gospel of John is that Jesus, when he's making these I am statements, when he's saying who he is, he doesn't actually spend any time refuting those who are opposed to him. He just simply speaks the truth. And we see that people either followed him or rejected him. We see an example of this in John chapter 6, starting at verse 60, where Jesus has been teaching, and John writes, "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?' Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, 'Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Do you want to leave too? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered them, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. See, Jesus speaks truth. And too often, people, when they hear truth, just simply reject it because they don't know Jesus and they don't know that he is the source of truth. And in our culture today, we have many, many voices that are screaming for our attention. Many voices that we are prone to listen to. As I was preparing this message, I was reading one book about this, and they were talking about a study that was actually done when I was a teenager. So a while ago. But when I was a teenager, there was a study that showed that fathers, you know, when teens were seeking advice or were seeking hardship in life, 20 years ago, dad was number 29 and mom was number 11 in terms of most likely to go to. More likely was friends, was peers, those around them. And as we look at our culture today, there's even more of that. There are so many voices in our culture, so many falsehoods that can be hard to filter them out. Some of them are easy. You know, there's some voices you hear and you just know, okay, that's just wrong. I encountered someone here in town recently, and his business card, which he was handing out, said that he was a flat earth preacher. And he's going around preaching here in Prince George to people about the conspiracy that the earth is round and all of the stuff that goes with that conspiracy, that we are all deceived because obviously the earth is flat. Some voices are easy to discern. This fellow's arguments were not compelling. I'll just leave it at that. But other arguments are much harder to discern. And we hear voices. We hear opinions from different quarters. When we have a problem or we have a question, so often we go and we put our question out to, you know, on social media, to the wisdom of the crowd, the wisdom of the masses. The trouble is that the wisdom of the masses is often faulty. Jesus is telling us that as his followers, we need to hear his voice. Jesus says that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd and they follow, and all others come to steal and destroy. And so Jesus goes on to say that not only do the sheep know his voice, but that he is the gate for the sheep. Now, when Jesus says that he is the gate, there's three things that we get from these verses here, what it means that Jesus is our gate. So if we know his voice and we hear his voice and we follow him and we trust him as our gate to the sheepfold. First, we see in verse 9 that Jesus says that he is the gate. Just like he said that he was the way, he's the only way. But when he says that he is the gate, he says that he is and he alone is the way to salvation. There's no way in to the sheepfold but through him. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. See, Jesus is the only door by which we can enter for salvation. Jesus is the only one that brings us to God, the only one that leads us to freedom from sin, to forgiveness from sin. It is through Jesus alone that the shame, hurt, and brokenness of our lives can be healed. There are a lot of gates in our world. There's a lot of places that you can only go to if you have the right pass or whatever it might be. I don't know if any of you ever tried to get on an airplane without a ticket or get through airport security. You know, if you get to the airport security line, one day just try this, just run through security and see how well it goes. You will be stopped. At the ski hill where I've spent some time this last season just working on the lift, It's a funny thing, you know, that some people try to sneak on the ski hill? Yeah, it's, you know, it happens. One of our jobs as, you know, when we're working on the lift is to check the passes. There's only one way up the hill. You got to have a valid pass. And otherwise, you get kicked off. I know, because I kicked a number of teenagers off this year who tried to sneak on, tried to sneak over the fence, tried to get on without a pass. The only way you're allowed up the lift is if you had a pass. So too, Jesus says that the only way to salvation is through him. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Peter, when he's before the Jewish leaders, says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way in. And that's an unpopular message in our culture today. The exclusivity of salvation through Jesus Christ alone is a very unpopular message in a culture that teaches every way is right. And so when Jesus says, "I am the gate and no one comes but through me," he's making a statement that to those he was speaking to 2,000 years ago and to us in our culture today was a message that was difficult to hear. And some people think that the exclusivity of faith in Christ alone is restrictive, that it's not a loving and compassionate God that bars always but one. But there's a second thing about a gate, and Jesus says he's the gate, and that is the gate is freedom to life. You see, Jesus says that he is the only way to salvation. But he also says, this latter part of verse 9 there, they will come in and go out and find pasture. You see, the only way into the sheep pen was through the gate. And the shepherd made sure that only his sheep came in, that his sheep didn't get out. Those who tried to climb over the walls to steal his sheep were thieves and robbers. Animals that came to try and take his sheep, he would defend them against. And so, yes, Jesus is the only way, but he's also the way to freedom. See, the shepherd didn't just take all of his sheep and keep them in the pen and lock them up. When the time was right, he let them out. He let them out to pasture, to feed, to water. Within the confines of the sheepfold, they were safe. but he also would let them out to get the nourishment that they needed. Too often we see that, or we're told that living according to God's word, that Jesus being the only way is too restrictive, that it's a hindrance, that we can't possibly have any fun if all we have is rules to live by. The shepherd here, when Jesus talks about letting them out, the shepherd doesn't let his sheep out at any time of day. Right? Those of you that have animals, do you just let them come and go any time of the day or night? Or do you take them in when there's cougars nearby or bears, predators? When the weather turns foul, you bring your animals in. You let them out when it's safe. So too, Jesus is saying that as the gatekeeper, as the gate, he lets them out. But God's rules, God's guidance for our lives are not meant to simply suck all the fun out of life, but allow us great freedom within the boundaries he gives us. As a parent, too, we set protective boundaries for our kids. I don't know about you, but my goal for being a dad is not to suck every single ounce of fun out of my kids' lives. I want my kids to be safe. I want them to grow. I want them to experience life. We let our kids out and we give them rein within boundaries when it's appropriate. We don't just simply lock them inside and keep them at home, cooped up and safe and secure inside our four walls until they turn 18. We lay down boundaries. So too, God has given us boundaries. He's given us his law. He's given us direction as to how to live, and he's given us great freedom within those bounds. As a gate, Jesus is the only way to salvation, but he's also the one that lets us out to enjoy the freedom that he gives us. The third thing that the gate gives us is protection. Jesus says in verse 10 there, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." See, the gate offers protection. The sheep are kept safely inside and the predators are kept out. The shepherd would sleep in the opening to the sheepfold. He would protect the flock. He would fight off predators. Because there were predators out there, so too, Jesus is saying that he keeps out the predators. Because there is a predator out there seeking to destroy each and every one of us. As one of God's sheep, we are under his protection when we abide in him. Jesus puts himself between the evil one and us and is our protector. Our security in life is not found in surrounding ourselves in walls, in a compound, protecting us from every possible danger outside. Our security in life comes from Jesus. It says that he came to give us life and life to the full. Some translations say this is abundant life. And that's what Jesus came to give us, life to the full. And as the gate, he gives us the safety to live fully. Now, when we think about a life that is full or a life that is abundant, so often we we go to the idea that a full life is a life that is a full pantry, a full wallet, happy, healthy, and wealthy. And that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus isn't teaching against those things, against wealth, against possessions. In fact, when we look at Jesus' teaching, we see that he views material possessions as morally neutral. It all comes down to how we respond to them. When Jesus talks about having an abundant life, he's talking about having a life that is full of him. The abundant life that Jesus is talking about is the life that never ends, the eternal life that we have to look forward to in him. But it doesn't start when we die. We can have life to the full now. When we live for Christ, we can live a life that includes peace, purpose, destiny, and joy in the face of adversity. When Jesus talks about having an abundant life, having a life that's full, it's those things that money can't buy. Possessions can't give you that kind of joy and purpose and peace that comes from him alone. Jesus calls us to live for him, to live knowing that he is our gate. And so the question is Jesus our gate? Do we know his voice? Do we know truth when we hear it? Do we know how to discern the voices that are not from him? Do we trust that he and he alone is the source of truth and life? Do we trust that when we live within the bounds of his word, that we are not living a life that is stifled and restrictive, but we are living a life that offers tremendous freedom within those bounds? That we are living a life that he has come to give us to the full. That we are living a life filled with his joy, with his purpose. With his joy. Knowing that no matter what we face in this world, because we will have hard times when we follow Christ. We will have hard times. But when we live with him, when we trust that he is who he said he is, the Son of God, come to pay the penalty for our sins and come to give us life to the full. When we live for him, within his protection, when we let him be the loving and protective gate of our lives, we can live that life, that abundant life.